No, you know what? I have good people around me. That's it. That's the secret.
That, my friends, is the unmistakable voice of late night talk show host Jimmy Fallon. And he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they
are hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in for today's Super You podcast. As you know, this is the podcast designed to unlock and unleash the superpower that is within all of us. I am your host, Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Today we have funny man Jimmy Fallon. So I'm really looking forward to his insights and tips because most comedians are actually very good business people. So we'll get some great insights from him and you'll hopefully get a couple laughs and you get some insights about your own small business or your entrepreneur vision if you've grown your small business into mid-size or actually into a public company. So anyways, here we are with 7 super tips from Jimmy Fallon. But before I get into that, I want to thank our sponsor, of course. We want to thank Audible. As you know about audiobooks, one of the great things, you can listen to them in your car or you can do it on a run. You can do it while you're folding laundry. Heck, you can do it even when you're making pancakes for the kids. So go check out your favorite book on Audible. My newest book, The Focus Project, is available on Audible. So thank you so much for making that a top number one release in social science category. So thank you so much. But anyways, without further ado, on today's show, we have Jimmy Fallon. And he's going to start us off with tip number one.
After Fever Pitch, I was just like, I think I grew up, you know, a little bit, and like I'm still growing up, and you know, getting serious with Nancy. So I've never really gotten that serious and go like, hey, time to focus up. But she was clearly magical and awesome, and Nancy's the whole reason for doing the show from our home, because we left 30 Rock in our show. It was a Thursday, and I remember NBC canceled the audience that day. They said, no, definitely no audience, because this thing is real. And Nancy goes, what are you going to do? And I go, I don't know. She's like, I mean, you have to do something. So I go, yeah, I should do something. So Nancy held the sub, she directed me, and I was just talking to the, you know, an iPhone, but I really lucked out. I mean, I got her as a guest. That's the hardest guest I've ever had to get.
As we move into tip number two, you know, at the end of his 8th grade yearbook, Jimmy Fallon's teacher listed her prediction of what would become of her students. And for Jimmy Fallon, she wrote this line, James Fallon will replace David Letterman on the late night show. Get out of here. That's crazy. I wish she could tell me what's going to happen with Bitcoin. But apparently, Jimmy Fallon was destined to become a famous celebrity comedian even at a young age. So it's crazy. Now, I always bring things back to me, right? I do a great job of that. But if you look at my locker partner, so my locker partner in high school, Joe Perk, amazing guy, great guy. So Joe Perk was voted by the student body, who do you want to most be on a deserted island with? Because Joe was not only cool, but he is very handsome. Looked like a better version of Brad Pitt, okay? And so don't think I didn't use that to my advantage. When people are like talking about Joe Perk or girls talking about Joe Perk, I'd like easily drop, you know, he's my locker partner. You know, you might see him if you stop by and talk to me. You might swing by the locker today. So why don't you just, you know, Joe Perk is my locker partner. So here we go with tip number two.
I always wanted to stay only 3 seasons on Saturday Night Live because John Belushi did. And I was like, that's it, 3 seasons. That's it. So I went into Lauren and I go, I think I have to leave. Sorry, we had a good thing. And he's like, right. You have a contract for 6 years, so you're not leaving. Anyway, what else is on your mind? I go, well, did you hear I was going to quit and everything? He's like, yeah, no. He goes, I think you should do update, you know, whatever. And so we talked, and luckily, he's so right. He's always right. And I stayed and did, you know, 3 more years. But then after 6 years, I go, I think I should go just because I'm friends with everybody. I'm friends with the crew. I'm friends with all the cast. I don't want to be one of those people that it becomes a job and you get crusty and you go, you're mad at something and you go, I just had the best experience. Let's stop it now. And wow, I can't believe I was this lucky. And he goes, okay, he goes, you know, Conan is leaving in like 3 years or something. That was, oh, 6 years. It was 6 years. He said, there was a weird contract he signed with Leno or something. Leno had 6 more years to The Tonight Show, and then Conan was going to take over. Something bizarre like that. And I go, oh, yeah. He goes, I think he'd be good at that. And I go, really? And Tina Fey was in the office, too. And she goes, I think so, too. She goes, you love people. I love people. I love stories. I'm interested. I really am. So I said, great. I'll see you in 6 years, you know? And then 6 years later, he called me.
All right. You know, Jimmy Fallon inspired Ben and Jerry to create his own ice cream flavor. Upon completion of his first season on The Tonight Show, Ben and Jerry revealed the Tonight Dough, got it, love it, as an act of celebration. Jimmy Fallon's face is featured on the ice cream carton, and all proceeds from this special ice cream flavor go to charity. How cool is that? And the ice cream consists of caramel, chocolate ice cream, swirls of chocolate cookie, peanut butter cookie dough, and chocolate chip cookie dough. Amazing. The only thing I'd change, I wouldn't have a base of chocolate. You have that much stuff in it, I'd go vanilla, and then I'd probably throw in an Oreo cookie and also Reese's. So that's how I would change it if I had, well, I don't have one. So maybe someday. You guys keep listening, and we'll have our own Equal Man Ben and Jerry flavored ice cream. Actually, this would be fun. Why don't you post this out there? Use hashtag Equalman. So hashtag Equalman. If you need to know how to spell that, you're probably not listening to the show. But hashtag Equalman, and just put in what would be the ingredients of your Ben and Jerry flavored ice cream, and what would you name it? I love the Tonight Dough. So have fun with the name and also ingredients. Here we are with tip number 3.
No, you know what? I have good people around me. That's it. That's the secret. You have talked to every step of the way on all these things you're talking about. Lorne, Nancy, you know, and honest people and good people. Surround yourself with good people. Every great person has said that, you know, so it's the truth. And no matter what age, whenever you figure it out, you go, oh, and I think a lot of people are figuring it out now. They go, oh, I don't have to hang out with my nephew, Larry.
Now, as many of you know, Fallon is an alum of Saturday Night Live, and while he was doing the show, he picked up an unexpected side gig, and brace yourselves, but he posed as a Calvin Klein model. Yes, that is true, that Fallon was a Calvin Klein model in 2001. He posed and was featured in a print ad, as well as some of the free postcards that they hand out. So I have no idea why that hasn't been exploited more, why that's not a meme out there, but hopefully someone does that soon. So here we are with tip number 4.
23 years old. I was wearing very tight clothing. This is the only outfit I really had. I had like 2 outfits. I had just like these tight Levi's and a tight like brown polo. I looked like I was like auditioning for Cirque du Soleil. Very tight. And I was like, I was a lily pad. I think it's just that's what I had. And yeah. As time went on, things just got tighter. Now it's happening the opposite way. My body is growing out to my shirts. You know you're getting a little fat when all of your shirts feel like Spanx. But I was, I wore the very tight clothing. And I came in and I had this act where I would do different impressions of people doing a celebrity walkathon. It was a charity for something. And there's different celebrities walking, and it was like people like Seinfeld going like, why are we all walking? Why don't we take a bus? We're all going to the same place. We could all end up at the same place. I would just give the money to charity. It's called the same place charity. You know, why are we walking? I don't get it. You know, and then, so I'm ready to do my bit, and I'm just so nervous. I'm in the building where all my idols were. It's my favorite show, Saturday Night Live. And I go in there, and I've watched it obsessively, like to the point where it's not even funny. Like in college, I wouldn't go out on Saturday nights because I wanted to be by myself watching Saturday Night Live from 11:30 to 1. I would watch every Saturday. I wouldn't go to parties. They go, you kidding me? You're not going to come? I go, I can't. I'll come before, but I got to leave 11:30. I got to be home. They're like, well, set up a TV, like your own private thing. I go, if you do that, maybe I'll come. I don't know. It's like I was that obsessed. I'm good at a party. I bring costumes. I bring costumes. I bring jealous. I mean, I'm down, man. So I was obsessed with the show. And I was in high school, I think, and I would do Dana Carvey impressions. And I always dreamt, like, maybe one day Lauren will just call me out of nowhere, and you know, in Socrates, New York, and be like, Jimmy, we need you to come in for Dana. You're the new church lady. And I go, what, me? Wow, you found. Of course, that never happened, you know. And so I get to, I've done stand up. I won talent competitions. I moved to LA. I started taking acting lessons with Gordon Hunt, Helen Hunt's dad. I did a study with the Groundlings, even though I had no money to pay for the Groundlings, which is a great improv class. It was a great school to learn how to do improv. I remember I got the call. I went to the audition, and I get to NBC, and I'm there, and I see the peacocks on the rug in the elevator. I'm taking pictures with my disposable camera. Yeah. Oh, God. I was like, oh. And so that was even so much money for me. And I go to the audition, and they're putting hair and makeup on. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I've never even had hair and makeup. They go, by the way, Lauren doesn't laugh, just so you know. I don't want to throw you. I go, okay. And then, thank you for telling me that. And then I would go over to the producer, like, hey, you're Jimmy Fallon? Go, yeah, you're up next. And just a little advice, Lauren doesn't laugh. I go, okay, that's fine. He doesn't have to laugh. And then I go over to the you ready to go on? I go, I'm ready to do it. The audio guy puts the microphone. He's like, just to let you know, Jimmy, Lon doesn't laugh. So don't let that. I go, yeah, so I've heard like four times. I'm like, gosh. So I do the audition, and he doesn't laugh. And but I do my impressions. I got up to Adam Sandler. And at the time, Adam just had left the show. No one had done an impression of Adam Sandler. And so I did an impression of Sandler. Like, and he started laughing, and I go, he put his head in his hand. I go, I made Lorne Michaels laugh. So it was like kind
wow.
of a, it was a kind of a magical. The rest was in slow motion, and the rest is history.
You know, Jimmy Fallon suffers from ring aversion. Cue the Beyonce. Until you had enough, then you took that ring off. One day he tripped over a rug in his own home and caught his ring on a countertop, his wedding ring. And this ripped his finger right off his hand. I know it's crazy, but it happens more than you think. People do it swimming. The ring gets caught on stuff. And then he was taken to the emergency room. He spent 10 days, I think it was 10 days, in the ICU before he was finally released. And you might have recalled when he was watching the show, he had it bandaged up for quite some time. But it scares the heck out of me. I actually find wearing my wedding band uncomfortable. I love having the wedding band. I've almost thought about having it tattooed on there so it's seamless. I've tried some of these plastic, not plastic, the rubber ones. They look great. The rubber ones actually look really cool. I like them because they're white and black, pretty stylish. But that also causes kind of a rash if you swim quite a bit. So if you have the perfect ring, let me know. Send it in because I love wearing it, but I don't like the danger that it can cause if it gets caught on something. So anyways, enough about rings. Let's ring in tip number 5.
You used to like live with these people, these cast members. I lived with them. I mean, Will Ferrell, I mean, I basically slept over in the office. It was me, Will, Anna Gasteyer, Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon. It's just, I mean, all these people like Tina Fey. Yeah, you know, I think of Tina Fey as a good memory. She used to like wear this like ski hat, and I think she would eat like a veggie sandwich from Subway. That was her thing. I mean, she would stay later than anyone. I mean, I would stay up with Horatio and try to write something, you know. And these aren't the years where everyone did drugs, so everyone's getting tired.
Right?
People are actually getting tired. So I would go home around 4, something like that, 5, getting ready for the next day's read through around 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something. In the morning, you know, I would leave 4 and Tina would still be there. And I go, bye, pal. She's like, what are you typing? She goes, Lauren just asked me if I could do the cold open. Oh, he wants me to write a cold open for a ball. And I go, wow. She was unbelievable. And I always remember that ski hat and her in her office with those old Apple iMacs that were colored that had like different colors, like it was blue and red. And I'll always remember that. But there's so many, you would improvise, you would do stupid things and dumb games and like, you would just invent. It was one of those fun shows where you could just come in and talk about nothing real. You know, you'd be like, dude, I'm selling my house. You know, and then I don't have a house. And then you go, how much are you selling for? I go, $300,000. Is it good? You go, yeah, well, I mean, the basement floods. You know, you could do, and we'd talk for an hour about nothing. Fake
this is
story.
Just you in the writer's room.
Yeah. Maybe in the writers or me and the cast members or, you know, at one point, Will was an auctioneer and he was auctioning things off at the table. And you go, I'll bid, you know, on a pencil or whatever. You know, and then like, or Will came in once. He's really good at this. He would come in as a character named Ron. If you talk to Will Ferrell, bring up Ron.
Okay.
It's an odd character.
But not Ron Burgundy.
No. Well, it might have. No. Yeah, it might have become Ron Burgundy. But it was this guy that had a mustache. He'd wear like a referee jersey, and he's very quiet, and he wouldn't talk to anyone. And we'd just talk to Ron. Hey, Ron. He goes, hello. And you go, are you having fun? Yes, I am. I want to be left alone. You know, whatever. And you go, okay. And then he's just an odd dude, and he would be that character for a week. And I remember Diddy was on the show performing with Jimmy Page. He had a song from the Godzilla soundtrack. And it was like, and he's rehearsing. And we were watching rehearsal. We go, it's interesting. And who comes in from the background but Ron comes in the back, like he's wandering, like in the background on stage. And then he starts, he just stands next to Diddy. Diddy's like, what's going on? Security, like what? He didn't know it was Will. Dude, it's one of the best things. But that's Will Ferrell.
Now, one item that jumped off the page we're doing the research for this interview slash episode is that before pursuing, obviously, the stand-up comedy career, you know, Fallon wanted to become a priest. Yeah, you heard me right. And he was raised in a household with a strict Catholic upbringing, and he even attended a private Roman Catholic school called St. Mary of the Snow. Pretty cool name. St. Mary of the Snow. Frozen. Cue the Frozen. And he attended Mass with his very religious grandfather every week as early as 6:45 in the morning. And you know what? He'd be a great priest. I mean, if he decided to go down that path, that's what we found with a lot of these people that we highlight here on the Super U Show, is they could probably be good at a lot of different things, but you have your own specific calling. Even though he loved the idea of being a priest, he loved incense, he loved the warm feeling you get when you leave church, the wonderful way a priest can make people feel so good after speaking with him. And he kind of does that today, right? He wants to make people feel good. So anyways, interesting fun fact that we uncovered. So here we are with tip number 6.
I have really good segment producers. So the segment producer talks to the guests like before they come on do the interview. So they kind of like try to get you like any good story, like how was your flight? After doing this for 10 plus years now, I know everybody really pretty well. And I've seen them at their highs and the lows. So I also have personal stories where I'll talk to people now. And now I go like, hey, are you still collecting, troll dolls or something? You know, like, no, I'm out of, you know. And then it sparks a thing. Then it's a snowball. Then it becomes a giant, you know. And it's great. I love when that happens.
As we move along to tip number 7, so being a permanent cast member on Saturday Night Live was not just a dream of Fallon's, it was a childhood dream. And part of the modern age of Saturday Night Live, Jimmy Fallon was on the show for 6 seasons, but growing up in that strict Catholic household, he was not able to watch episodes, full episodes of Saturday Night Live as a child. However, his parents would videotape, you know, those, remember those crazy square VHS tapes you had to put in the machine? And then they would watch and cut out the bad parts, the inappropriate parts. So what a great parents to do that. I know. And shout out to my mom and dad. They did the same thing. I know Revenge of the Nerds. Remember that movie? Revenge of the Nerds. There's some scenes in there you shouldn't watch as a youngster. So my parents cut that out, shortened the movie by about 20 minutes. But that's what great parents do, don't they? But anyways, and then he got on the show SNL and flourished. So here we are. Hopefully you're flourishing today. Hopefully these tips are helping you flourish. And here's our final tip. Tip number 7.
Nancy Fallon now. But yeah, she's the greatest, man. She's the coolest thing that ever happened to me. I met her. She's a producer on Fever Pitch. I did this movie with Drew Barrymore. I was in Boston, and we were shooting this movie, The Farrelly Brothers, and it was I loved it. I had so much fun making this movie, and it was just gray and rainy. I remember she's just got a cool vibe to her. Big smile, beautiful, and just smart, but fun, and we had so much fun. And I just remember it was a gloomy, rainy day in Boston, very rainy, and then all of a sudden this person walks in with, like, I want to say white pants, a pink sweater, and a green backpack, like a neon green. And I was like, and blonde hair and white teeth, like very California, you know. And I was like, she is just the ray of sunshine. And she's the, and it was one of the, no, it was one of the moments where I go, she's special. Ah. She's floating, you know. She's coming into focus where everything else is blurry. And we would hang out. I mean, when you do a movie, you get really close with the cast and the crew, and you hang out with each other afterwards, and you go, and we used to go to someone's hotel room and listen to music And then it would just kind of dwindle down, just be me and Nancy, and we'd listen to, we were friends before we went out with each other. We were just friends, and I would like, since it wasn't romantic, I'd be like, hey, check out this Randy Newman song. It's like, normally if I was trying to date, I wouldn't say, let's listen to Randy Newman for an hour. It's like, right. What? But I'm like, but you got to be friends. And I go, and she was like, oh, I like that song. You know, Harry Nilsson. I go, I love Harry Nilsson. Then we played The Point. You know The Point? Yeah, I know. Then we just became friends, and we just started talking about, and we just became really best friends. I just loved her. And then we kind of just didn't really, nothing really happened. You know, and I was very nervous. I don't want to do anything, fool around with anybody, you know, on the set or anything like that. Or I didn't even know if I wanted to date anyone, or she didn't have any idea either. And we were selling the movie in London. We were with Drew, and I saw Nancy again. I hadn't seen her in a couple of months, and I'm like, I miss you. I want to hang out with you. Like, let's. She's like, I miss you too. And then we haven't stopped dating since. That was it. She's the best. She's the smartest. If you ever need advice, I would go to either my wife or Lauren Michaels.
Man, that guy is likable. And that's a key to success. How likable can you be? And you can learn to be likable, not fake, but just be likable. And part of that is listening to other people. Part of that is just putting other people first. And so if you can just be more likable today, there's a great book by Dave Kirp and a friend of mine, Likeable. So go check it out. It's still very relevant this day and age on how to be likable in social media. But hopefully those people around you are being likable today. If not, go above and beyond. Take the higher ground. I hope the Super You podcast today helped you unlock and unleash the superpower that is within all of us. Again, keep those reviews coming. It helps other people discover the podcast. So thank you so much for those reviews. You guys keep pouring in here. Can't thank you enough. Can't believe we're well over 100 episodes. Crazy. You guys are making it all happen. So we appreciate you. We also appreciate our sponsor, Audible. And we appreciate the folks that put this podcast together that make me sound halfway decent. And that is Savannah Pettinger, Jake Brin, and of course, the amazing Kelsey Gomez. But most importantly, thank you, the listener, for always tuning in. And remember, this is Equal Man reminding all of us, until the next Super You episode, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You.